Hello, my name is Isaiah Curtis, and I am a youth intern here at Resurrection. I've been coming here since I was about in sixth grade, and I am super happy to be able to preach this little message to you folks. Today I will be talking about what Ash Wednesday is, how we can grow closer to God, and I'll be talking about forgiveness. I'll be putting up a Bible scripture. It's Joel 2:12. One that I did was NLT one. That is why the Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning." So obviously that's a good little verse to talk about what we're talking about. So first, starting off, what Ash Wednesday is. Ash Wednesday is the start of a 40-day spiritual preparation. And the number of days is actually very important. The reason why is because 40 days is used throughout a lot of scripture, anywhere from when Noah built the ark and it rained for 40 days all the way up into when Jesus was tested in the forest for 40 days by the devil. What 40 means in the Bible is it's a representation of a period of testing, trial, probation, which is perfect for the Lent period. So during these 40 days, we as Christians are challenged to give up something important to us or something that would be challenging us to give up. When we look at that, and overall, in general, we should be giving up things for God at all times in our lives. One example of that in my life personally is a couple years ago, I was dating this young lady. Let's just call her Stephanie. And she was not a Christian, which is already kind of like a red flag. But what I did was I spent every single day with her. I made sure to carve out time for her, and I made sure to make her my one and only and put all my all into this girl because I was going to marry this girl, and I was going to be with her for the rest of life. Nobody can tell me what's wrong, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm an adult. I'm 17. I know what I'm talking about. So I spent so much time with this girl. I made sure to put every single day into her. And the problem with that is as I continued to put more and more effort into her, I was taking more and more effort away from God. So that led to me stop going to church and overflow in all this amazing church community for about, 4 or 5 months, which is obviously diminishing to my relationship with Christ. Over time, I started to realize that my relationship with Christ actually needs to start coming up again, considering I put her at 100% max capacity and top priority, and I put God as like a little, I still believe in you, so it's okay. I don't need to do anything with my relationship with you, which we all know is not how to keep up a good relationship. So over a period of time, I kind of realized that, I should probably start going to church a little bit more often. So I started coming back here, was welcomed with open arms, which is amazing. But I still continued to make sure that she was a big part of my life and God was a part of my life, but I made sure that she was every week making sure she was there. And if I could fill in God, that kind of worked out too. So over the summer, I went to this little thing called Summer Sizzler, which is an amazing time. Highly recommend any kids to go to it. But what it is it is a time for a week period over the summer for kids to be able to spend time with God, spend time with leaders, and make sure that God is their top priority, and it just takes away all the other busyness from our weekly lives and stuff like that. And during that time, I was asking the question for my leader. I was like, hey, if I feel like God is calling me to stay where I am in Minnesota, but the love of my life, the person I know I'm going to be with, is gonna be moving to a different state, what do I do? And obviously I expected like, follow your heart, because obviously every 17-year-old young boy should be following his heart to a different state. But the answer I actually got was, if God is calling you to stay where you are and that girl is called to be somewhere else, then God's not calling you to be with that girl anymore. I was dating this girl for a year and that was not the answer I was hoping to hear, especially since I put so much effort into her, but overall, if I'm going to make sure that God's my top priority, I need to make sure to choose God or this girl. So the next week, I came home, and I was like, got to hit the brakes. God's my first choice. Had to break up with her. She didn't really understand it just because she wasn't Christian, but overall, we need to make sure that God is our top priority, so I tried to make sure that I made that choice right then. A big thing about that is I made sure to carve out all this time for her and make sure that she fit into the schedule no matter what happened in my daily week. But the problem is that we don't do that enough for God. We make sure that God somewhat fits in between schedules or different things like that, But we should all be making sure that God is the forefront of what our week is, and we should try to work things around that. Because God is the God of the universe, and he puts so much effort into us and puts so much faith in us, yet we can't have a real relationship with someone if we don't put any time or effort into them. If I can put all this effort into this girl, and I know that a lot of people have probably done that too, putting effort into little things like friends or other different important things in your life. But the problem is that if God's not your first priority, then you have your priorities wrong. When doing this, I understand that some things that you can do, like for example, what I did was when I chose her, that seemed like an obvious choice, like God's gonna come first. But I know that some of you have important things in your life, like you need to be at dance, or you need to be doing this other sport, or you have work or different other things. And I understand that those things are important in your life. But the problem is if you're putting all of this effort into these things and you're putting little effort into God, in this small amount of time that we are on earth, in the infinite amount of time that we're gonna be with God, God's gonna look at that and he's gonna realize that I was put as second, so I'm not gonna put you as first. So he's gonna look at us and he's gonna realize how much we've messed up and we're gonna fall short of the glory of God. So one thing I really appreciate and I really hope everyone does, including me, I will be doing this as well, is putting God first. In this 40-day trial, I would like all of us to be able to either give something up or start picking up something that allows us to grow closer to God. I know a lot of us, for example, like work and do little things like watch Netflix or different other pastimes that you can do. If you think giving that up and spending more time with God will be beneficial to your relationship with God, I highly recommend it. If you think you want to start going to church more often and start discipling kids or teaching other kids about the Bible or showing them the love that Christ has shown you, I highly recommend it. It'll allow you to grow in your faith and allow you to grow in your dedication to God. And even though this is a 40-day time of Lent and a time of fasting and all that stuff, that doesn't mean that it has to stop here. That doesn't mean that you can't keep doing it forever. I highly recommend it just because I know that God blesses those who put effort into him. So during this time of fasting, I know that most people do a thing where they give up food or junk food, or they give up eating out or different stuff like that. And if you think that that is what God is calling you to do, highly recommend it. That's you. That's your relationship with God. But if you are just giving these things up just so that you can have a healthier diet or just so that you can feel better physically, then the problem is that you're not fasting. All you're doing is dieting. So the difference between fasting and dieting is essentially just making sure that God is in the forefront of your decision. If you are fasting, you are dieting, or you're giving something up or adding something, and you're making sure that God is the focus of that choice. If you want to do that, then I would consider that dieting. That is, no, not dieting, that is fasting. Dieting is when you do the other thing. Because when you diet, you help out your physical body, but if you fast, you help out your spiritual body, and you help out your relationship with Christ. So, during this time, I would love if everyone were to give something up challenging. I know that any of us can give up anything. Everybody has a different thing or different challenge in their life, and everyone has something that takes them farther away from God. And I know that if we all start making more effort into God, he will really appreciate it. He puts so much effort into us, and he puts so much effort into me that he deserves this. Speaking of that, and all the effort that God has put into us, one big thing that we need to be doing and thinking about when we are into this 40 days of Lent is forgiving others. I know that forgiveness is such a big word in Christianity. We're always told to forgive people and forgive this person. It doesn't matter what they do. And I understand that that's just a word that we all hear and we're all like, oh yeah, we understand what that means. But the problem is that not enough of us do it. All of us kind of think like, oh, well, God forgives me, so it's okay. But if God forgave you and he gave his only son to die on the cross for you and he put all of this effort into you, why can't you just think a little bit and start to forgive those who have not done good to you? A lot of us think, well, it's justice. This is the life we live, and this person deserves to be punished. But all of us are punished by death if Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for us. So you have to think about the fact that if Jesus is dying on the cross, he's perfect, and he was a perfect son, he did no wrong, and he put his life on the line for us, why can't we put a little bit of effort into forgiving those around us? And when you're doing this fasting and forgiving others, I know that it's easy to look at other Christians and say, well, you should be fasting too. It's so much better. And like, I'm fasting. Look at what I'm doing. Like, I'm so much better than you. But the problem is that this isn't a game. This isn't a tier level. Like, if I'm fasting longer than you, that makes me a better Christian than you or anything like that. If you look at Matthew 6:16 through 18, it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees that what is done in secret, will reward you. So, I understand that it looks good to be fasting. I know it looks good to be, hey guys, aren't you doing Lent? Aren't you as good as me? But as Christians, we shouldn't be boasting. The only thing we should be doing is giving all of our grace and our honor to God. In this time, we need to be focusing our relationship with God and not trying to bring up our own image and bring up our own pride. So during this time, I would love if all of us would think of a person. I know that everyone has a person that's wronged them. We all live in a broken world, and I know that everyone here, including myself, has someone that they don't want to forgive. And I know that it's going to be hard to forgive them. This is obviously something I would recommend going to God first. I know that this is a hard issue more than anything else. And I want you to think of this person. And I don't expect it to happen tonight, but I want all of us to think of that person and steadily forgive them, even if that person is ourselves. I understand that a lot of us have self-hate or self-worth that we have problems with, but God loves us, and God just sees us as so beautiful and one of his amazing children. And we need to view ourselves as that as well. But no matter what we do, we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. And other people are going to fall short of the glory of God. So we need to forgive them for their sins and for their mess ups, because God forgives us. If God can forgive us for all the hurt and all the pain that we've put him through, I think we can forgive people of little grudges or anything like that that they put us through. God is giving his all for us, and every single one of us, whether or not you gave your life to him or you didn't, God is doing it for the people that hate Christians, they love Christians, or anything like that. It doesn't matter what walk of life you are in, God gave his son for you. And I don't care what you're doing, God loves you, and God will forgive you if you give your life to him. And if God is putting all of this countless hours and all of this effort into us puny humans that are so little, then why can't we put enough effort into others and put enough effort into our relationship with God? I'd like to pray for us. I know that that probably wasn't the happiest tone to end on, but it's not always happy. God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for Lent. Thank you for this period of testing. I would love to just hope that everyone here will be able to grow closer to you in this time. And I just pray that everyone here will put more effort into you. I pray that even though the effort that we will be putting into you isn't enough to satisfy all that you've done for us, I hope that you'll just see that we're trying our best. God, I just pray that during this time, we can all grow closer to you. And even past this time, we can grow closer to you. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.